folks that were on both sides of the aisle that were supporting H.R. 9495. And what we will do is we're going to have posted on our webpage, on our TJC page, the folks and how they voted on 9495. And look at the list. See if your member of Congress, how they voted on 9495. And once you see how they voted on 9495, call them up. If you know other members of Congress, if you know other people that are in members that are voting in favor of 9495, let them know and get on the phone. This is an action item, folks. Don't sit back and think that this is one party driven. It's not. So please take a look at 9495, Barbara. Is that correct? And let folks know where you stand.
Absolutely, folks. And make sure you can't assume that just because your senator is, quote, liberal or that they're Dem or a Democrat or whatever, you can't assume they're going to vote the right way. You can't assume that just because they're Republican that they're going to vote against, they're going to vote the wrong way either. You have to contact them and let them know you're watching them. Let them know this is important to you. And so that they don't, because in the House, they had all of these Democrats, I'm just telling the story, who had signed on to this bill. And once they started getting calls from people, they were like, oh, we didn't know. We just thought it was an okay bill. You know, it's talking about helping hostages. We didn't really understand this amendment. That because, listen, they get so many bills they vote on all the time, they don't necessarily know what's in everything they're voting for. So you got to, have to be heard. Again, 202-224-3121. Let's change the subject quickly in the time that we got remaining to us. And let's talk about another subject related to the elections. And that is, what should President Biden do? He's got 8 weeks, a little bit under, 7.5 weeks to take action. As he's still president, folks, when you hear about, Trump is making this nominee, that nominee, that is just prospective. Until he's president, he has no power to even officially nominate anybody. He has no power. He's not president. And right now, the president of the United States is called Joseph Biden. And the question is, before he leaves, what does he need to do with his presidential power? What does he need to make sure happens under his administration before he leaves? He still can exercise his presidential power. What is your favorite idea, Dr. Myers, of what he needs to do?
Well, that's a great question. And President Biden still has executive authority, which is very powerful. And he needs to look into whether he can apply executive authority to transfer certain functions and budgets out of the Department of Education, perhaps into a separate unit or independent agency. I would like for him to try to apply the same type of strategy for executive power in the U.S. Justice Department, because we count on the Justice Department to protect us from, law enforcement violence and so many other unfair things that happen to us in the criminal justice system. So education, criminal justice, and health would be the third area. We need to have our families receiving Medicare and Medicaid protected. The Obama Act needs to be protected. So I would hope that he would focus on what power he has using the executive order in these last few weeks to be able to protect those programs.
Thank you so much. Ernie, what's your thought? What are your thoughts?
I go back to the end of the Trump the first Trump administration, when the gag orders and everything else were imposed, which then led to everything that we're facing with now. And I think, Biden obviously is a moderate. And I've always said that moderate politics can never win against extreme politics. And I think there needs to be a radicalization in his last few days in terms of trying to utilize executive power. And it's not about whether or not Trump can overturn it when he comes in. It's about creating as much of a logjam and having to do just that. So in other words, you maximize if there's 200 or 300 things that you can do through your executive power, regardless of whether or not they're going to probably be reversed, you do that because that's time that they've got to spend. It's also time that people can then learn about what's being done. There's time for us to build opposition to that. So I think that's critical. But the key thing that we all realize is what's the mindset of the Democratic Party right now. And so along with Dr. Myers, I think he needs to be focusing on weakening of anti-discrimination laws, whatever you can do in that space, access to quality education for students of color, undermining Black political power. Dr. Myers mentioned the criminal legal policies, obviously are critically important. Black families' access to affordable housing would be another space. And then just the health disparities caused by environmental racism and other things that we're dealing with. But those really need to be his priorities. And spending money as fast as possible and as much as possible in those spaces.
Yes,
absolutely. If I could just pop one more into that. The Office of Gun Violence Prevention, which has only been there a year, Vice President Kamala Harris put that in place. They really need to focus on trying to find a way to keep that because violence is an issue that incoming President Trump is saying he wants to authorize law enforcement to have his day of violence to stop crime. And it's terrifying what they're talking about doing. So we need to definitely focus on that as well.
Well, there's a couple things that we want to put out there really strongly. First of all, in the area of environmental justice, we want to make sure that Secretary Buttigieg, while he's still secretary, allocates funding to protect the Shiloh community in Alabama, a Black community that has been flooded because of the thoughtless, evil actions of the Department of Transportation of Alabama that created a highway freeway system that is now flooding this Black community. And there's been no relief for these people. Let's do that. You can do that. That's totally within your authority. It cannot be reversed. Go ahead, do that funding, get it out to that community now. The other thing, Daryl, we got a big one, right? He has unilateral pardon authority. It cannot be reversed, people. Once he exercises power, his pardon authority, it is final. And he needs to issue some critical pardons right now. Go ahead, Daryl. There's one big one that we want everybody to focus on.
Well, certainly, Barbara, one of the pardons that we've been advocating for is the pardon of Jesse Jackson Jr. He has the ability to do that. And he should do that because it's the right thing to do. You want to lift up the other one, Barbara?
No, you go ahead.
that's the big one. But there are a couple other issues that I'd also love to see him address, Barbara. I would love to see President Biden in these last days, and I call on him to do this, is to release the unredacted Mueller report. Because we need to know what we have in office right now. And releasing that report will do that, will let us know what we're dealing with in our presidency. Additionally, I would also ask the president and demand of the president that he release the NSA briefing that Representative John Lewis and Maxine Waters received in 2016. When they came out of that briefing, both Representative John Lewis and Congresswoman Maxine Waters was stating that then-elect President Trump was an illegitimate president. The question is, what's in those files? And if they don't get released, we won't know what all we're dealing with. I think that as we develop our democracy, we are deserving to know what it is that we're dealing with so we can have a full appreciation for what's happening, Barbara. And those are two of the other things that I certainly would like to see done.
Well, one of the things I would like him to do when the last month of the Trump administration in, of 2016, in their last months of existence, they actually did something cruel. They ordered the execution of people on death row who were under the death penalty. There are people sitting under that same threat right now. It was just a cruel, you know, kill them all strategy. They authorized, you know, 13 people to be murdered. We would like Biden to absolutely use his computation power, which once again cannot be reversed, to make sure that people who are facing the death penalty are not allowed to be executed by Trump as soon as he gets into office. It is important that, you know, number, we all know about the many fallacies, the many deficiencies in the death penalty. It is so important that that be addressed. I'm not saying put people on the street. I'm just saying make sure they can't be just killed, and that they have the opportunity to use the full legal processes. There's so much else, and we'll keep talking about what Biden should do. The other big thing, everybody, that he could do right now that can't be reversed also is he needs to make sure that all those federal employees who are political appointments, who are doing their jobs, are given civilian, regular roles. So we want to make sure that that happens also, that they just don't get fired, because under Project 2025, they're saying fire 10,000 political appointees, fire 50,000, employees of the federal government. I turn it over to you, Daryl, to take us home. We love you. Dr. Myers, thank you so much. Professor Quarles, you have been amazing. Daryl.
Thank you, Barbara. And folks, on Monday, December the 9th, we invite you to come out and join the Transformative Justice Coalition at our National Teletown Hall. It'll be at 7 p.m. You can get more information on that at tjcoalition.org, tjcoalition.org. Much thanks to Dr. Stephanie Myers for being on our show today. Major thanks to our friend, my brother, Professor Ernest Quarles, for being with us on this show today. Folks, we say it every weekend. We say it every Tuesday. We mean it every day. It's time to get off the sidewalks, get into the streets, and get into good trouble. Be certain that you're doing something positive, that you're moving in a positive direction, that you're not sulking in any loss or any retribution that may be sent your way, but rather you're lifting yourself up, you're lifting your community up, you're lifting your family up. And folks, nonviolence is the way to do it. Let's learn our history. Let's get into the books. Let's get into the streets. Let's get our votes on. Let's get our registration on. Let's get ready for 2026, because 2026 election series is up on deck. Folks, until next Tuesday, noon, Eastern Standard Time. Peace, everybody.
Peace. Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful show.
Thank you. Thank you.
I had an important job. And it wasn't just a job. It was keeping my brothers and sisters safe. And coming back, it felt like kind of thrown away. It's like you're useless. You know, we don't really have a need for you now because you can't really do anything for us. That's the way I felt. If it hadn't have been for Wounded Warrior Project, I honestly don't know if I would be here. It was the camaraderie that I saw and had. It was like, I got my family back again. We all felt the connection, you know, like that brother and sisterhood.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Donna by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The preceding program was paid for by Barbara Arnwine.
Are you excited about being a new grandmother?
Of course I am. A little intimidated, too.
Why?
Taking care of a baby today is so different than when I had you.
But, Mom, you did great with me.
Thanks, son. But I put you on your stomach to sleep.
Right. But now we know that babies should always be placed on their backs to sleep, for naps and at night. to reduce the risk of sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS.
Hmm. You also slept with blankets and toys in your crib.
True. But now we know to keep everything out of the crib except for my sweet baby girl. No blankets, pillows, or other soft or loose items.
1450 WOL.